Hey everybody, welcome to Encuentro, the last day of 2021. What an amazing, difficult, crazy year it has been, huh? Well, on this last day, I'm actually on my way to be with my family for New Year's Eve and for New Year's Day. And so it's going to be my last podcast, at least for this year. We'll see what the new year brings. Let's begin with the prayer of Saint Francis. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Lord, make me a means of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there's despair, hope. Where there's darkness, light. Where there's sadness, let me bring joy. Divine Master, grant that I may seek not so much to be consoled, but to console. Not so much to be understood, but to understand. Not so much to be loved, but to love. For it is in giving that we receive. It is in forgiving that we are forgiven. And it is in dying to ourselves that we are born to eternal life. Like I said earlier, I'm actually on my way to my parents' place and to be with my family. I am not in my parents' place. I'm on the road to meet up with my parents and my siblings and spend New Year's Eve and New Year's Day together. It would be a great time. The last time we were together like this was, of course, Christmas Eve, and before that it was Christmas of 2019. I'm sure that's the experience of so many of us. Our gospel reading for today, on this last day of 2022, is from John, the prologue of John, chapter 1, verses 1 to 18. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came for testimony, to bear witness to the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness to it. The true light that enlightens every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. Yet the world knew him not. He came to his own home, and his own people received him not. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the flesh, nor the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. We have beheld his glory, glory as the only Son from the Father. John bore witness to him and cried, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me, for he was before me.' And from his fullness have we all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Christ Jesus. No one has ever seen God, the only Son who is in the bosom of the Father. He has made him known." I think it is so fascinating that the church ends the year with this reading, the prologue of the Gospel of John, the most theological gospel whose thought soars, to the heavens. And it starts with the most fascinating line. It's fascinating considering that this year is ending, and the line begins, "In the beginning." In the beginning. The Gospel of Matthew and Luke, with the story of Jesus' birth, they have the accounts of Jesus' human origins, how he was born of Mary, of Joseph, Holy Spirit, Zechariah, John the Baptist, the Annunciation of Gabriel. The Gospel of Mark, of course, begins right away with the preaching of John the Baptist and the beginning of Jesus' ministry. The Gospel of Mark does not contain any account of the origins of Jesus, whether human or divine. it begins, the Gospel of Mark, as it were, already in the middle of things. You know, the Greeks had a very fascinating way of understanding time. You know, their understanding of time was cyclical. You know, for the Greeks, time had no beginning, you know, and had no end. It just kept going on and on and on. In contrast to that, the Jewish and the Christian understanding of time is linear. I mean, it has a beginning, it has a middle, and it has an end. But this arrow-like character of time, you know, for us Christians and for the Jewish people, is inserted into something larger than time itself, you know. God is time's maker. Okay? Time is God's creature. Its beginning, its middle, and its end, as St. Paul is able to say, is in God. And so he says in one of his letters, in him we live and move and have our being. Time itself, okay, because it is God's creature, time itself is held in God's hands. Over the course of 5 months that I've been here in the country, I've had the opportunity to speak to so many people, you know, online, of course, most of them, given the state of the pandemic. And I've been able to counsel a lot of individuals. I've just been able to be present to some who've really needed a listening ear. And one thing stands out in all of these conversations, and that's the number of endings, of goodbyes and of farewells that have characterized the lives of so many of us this past year. In fact, these past 2 years. And naturally, these farewells and endings always come with tears, with sorrow, with pain, and because of parting. And also because sometimes individuals feel that there was not enough time, that they would have wanted to have more time, they would have wanted to accomplish more, perhaps. Endings are that way, you know, they bring about a grab bag of emotions. If it's an expected and long-awaited ending, it's usually relief and happiness that, you know, is felt, that are felt. If it's an unexpected ending, it's usually shock, regret, and sometimes even anger. Whether expected or unexpected, endings always tend to have a bittersweet feel to them. You know, because they make us remember not only the road that got us to that point, to the end, but the point that got us started in the first place. You know, I remember speaking to a couple whose marriage had ended, and one of them spoke to me with pained nostalgia, if you will, about their very early days as a couple, you know. And she said, well, when we had nothing, Father, we were so happy, you know, when we had nothing. We were so happy. We were going to conquer the world together. You know? Or a young lady who had just slowly begun the process of reconciling with her mom. You know, she says, I'm glad I was there when she passed, her mom passed away. I just wish we had started the process of coming to terms with, you know, with things, with her past. You know, I wish we had done that sooner. I would have liked to spend more time with her. But I'm grateful for the little time we did manage to have together. Or a young woman who had just lost her father and her brother to COVID, you know. So she was telling me, she said, you know, they both got vaccinated, Father. And we were looking forward to a happy Christmas together. You know? But obviously, that didn't happen. I just wish I had more time with them. You know, time, I heard it once said, is nature's most precious commodity. You just can't buy it. No matter how great the advertising you see for beauty products that promise to turn back the clock, or stores that promise you to be forever at a certain age. Time is also one of life's most mysterious realities. You know, St. Augustine says if nobody asks him, he knows what time is, but if he is asked, he has no clue what exactly time is. And yet, Augustine also tells us in his book, The Confession, he says, time is God's creature. God created time. It belongs to Him.
All of it. You know, I've always been fascinated by lines that are recited by the priest who blesses, when he blesses the Paschal candle at the Easter Vigil. You know, as the priest traces with a stylus, the cross on the Paschal candle, he says these words. He says, "Christ, yesterday and today, the beginning and the end, Alpha and Omega, all time belongs to Him, and all ages, to Him be glory and power through every age, forever. Our past, our present, and our future, all are in God's hands. All of it belongs to Him." What a comforting and consoling thought, eh? Especially so as we bring yet another difficult year to a close. A year that has seen its tremendous share of frustration, disappointment, loss, worry, and anxiety. I was speaking to a friend once who told me how frustrated he was at the project he had started and to which he had poured his heart and soul was cut midway through completion. You know, because of the pandemic. He got sick. He survived. "I was close. I was so close," he said to me. I got so close, Father, I could almost taste success. "But it was still good, right?" I said. "Now, how could it be good when I didn't really finish it?" "Well, you didn't, but the work continues, and you're alive," I said. "Well, yeah." "And isn't that something to be thankful for?" I asked him. "Shouldn't you be thankful for that?" "Well, I am," he says. I am. Well, and then I said, "Besides, you know, you learn a lot putting the entire project together. You got to know and work with a lot of really amazing people. And you got to know yourself more, your strengths and your weaknesses. You did so amazingly well that when the next opportunity arises, everything you learned from the work you did, you know, even if it didn't get completed, they'll be totally useful." "You're right, Father, you're right," he said. I don't know why what I'm feeling bad about." You can tell I'm on the road. You know, there's motorcycles and cars passing by. This is hilarious, but it's fun. Anyway, going back to my friend there. So, you know, he says to me, "You know, Father, you're right. I don't know what I'm feeling bad about. You know, I learned so much. You know, I was able to meet a lot of really good people. And I, you know, the skills that I picked up, I mean, they'll stay with me forever." I said, "Yes, absolutely. Isn't that something to be thankful for?" And he says, "Yeah, it is. My life's in God's hands. Our lives are in God's hands." You know, last year, Pope Francis wrote that letter on the fatherhood of St. Joseph. I think it's such an amazing document. And there's something in it that I've repeated again and again to those who have come to me for advice and who feel so beaten sometimes by the frustrations and disappointments of this past year. And Pope Francis says, "It doesn't matter if everything seems to have gone wrong or if some things can no longer be fixed. God can make flowers spring up from stony ground. Even if our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our hearts, and God knows everything." On this last day of 2021, it is good to remind ourselves that no matter what we went through in this year that's ending, no matter how good or bad our experiences might have been, no matter how successful or unsuccessful we may have been in realizing our plans, our dreams, our hopes, and our visions, our lives are always safe in the Lord's hands, and they are great, and they're powerful hands.